VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
Now, all you people in those really long, slow lines of cars headed out to the TPC, welcome to the show. But wait a minute. There aren't any long lines of people going out to TPC.
The only long lines are at Costco, probably.
Apparently. The admonishment I normally give on this day every year is to recognize the fact that the town is full of people from not here who don't know their way around, and to be courteous and polite and slow down and all that. But apparently nobody would want to hear that anyway, based on the speed of the people on Butler this morning.
There might still be a few of them here. They're just not going to be able to enjoy the TPC, unfortunately.
The good news, if you are the cockeyed optimist that I, of course, always am, the good news for those people is they got a vacation in Florida on what might go down as the prettiest weekend ever.
It is very beautiful out.
So go to the beach, forget about all the trouble, and have a good time and spend lots of money while you're here, because this town can always use it. And then probably you'll come back.
Hope so.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Adam and I have been discussing this, of course, all week, as everybody in the country has probably. And our first thoughts are always, well, the whole reaction to this thing is overblown. And yet every day that goes by and everything that gets canceled and everything that's happening, you just start to think, you know, I think maybe it's for the best. Let's get over this thing fast.
We need to. We do. Absolutely have to. I did not fully understand the impact of this thing, but now that it's becoming more clear, it's pretty big.
It is. Yeah, I don't think anybody foresaw it very well.
No, but luckily there's some good data out there. If you look at China and you look at South Korea and what they've done, which is what we're doing now, South Korea was able to cap their cases at about 8,000, just over 8,000, and now they're having people recover, so their cases are going down rather than up. So the measures do work, apparently.
Yeah, they were the ones that did those really what I thought were harsh reactions to this, and yet look at what they've accomplished. So I gotta give them kudos.
Japan, Singapore, they both put in really early measures and it seems to have worked. So that's the really good news out of this, is that it's going to slow down economic activity for the time being. And will we see a recession? I'm pretty sure at this point we will see some sort of recession.
I think there'll be a negative GDP growth for a while, but I'm not going to forecast a recession, because that takes 6 full months.
Right.
I think we might be out of this before that.
I think it could bleed over into 6 months. So the recession sounds terrible, but a lot of recessions are mild and they come out pretty quickly. So I'm not going to be super concerned about it, but I do think it could happen.
And by the way, the market will lead us out.
Yes, it will.
Don't think you've got to wait until you see that GDP growth is high again to get back into the market should you be out, because that is not true. The market will anticipate it. They will be right, and you want to be there when they anticipate it. And that is just a free little lesson for today. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about the market, and who would have thought that Friday the 13th would bail us out. And by bailing us out, I mean capping off the worst week ever.
I mean, I'm old enough
and yet feel okay.
I'm old enough to remember way back in December 24th of 2018 when the market, or sorry, December 26th of 2018 when the market went up by the most Dow points ever.
1,084, as I recall.
Yep. And
what a change.
Yeah, we kind of blew that away several times since then, just in the last 3 weeks.
And in the last half hour, it went from 500 to 2,000 up roughly. So you can't be nimble enough. Who put it? I'm trying to remember. I made a note. Some really interesting way of putting it, that what it meant was the electronic traders, you know, the
high computers, frequency guys.
Yeah, the computers we all talk about.
Algorithms.
They're so fast, so much faster than you are. If you try to anticipate them, you'll get a Friday at 3:30 reaction, and it'll knock you right out. So yeah, grin and bear it. It will pass, and I'm going to let Adam describe some of the action, although not sure how much he wants to actually say.
Well, I mean, it's already happened. The really interesting point about this this decline, this bear market that we're now officially in as of this week, is that it took 16 trading days from the peak. Typically, it takes a lot more than that. So, a lot more, like 120 or more. And this time, 124 days is what it normally takes to get this type of decline. And it usually, so 4 months, it took 3 weeks. And here we are. And there's just no way that you could react fast enough or strong enough or see where it was going to end. And you would have also missed three of the biggest up days in the history of the market. And if you had bought into those up days, except for the last one, you wouldn't have done any good because you would have still caught more downside. Yeah. So
I found it that somebody referred to passive investment schemes. What that means is it doesn't require physical intervention to enter trades. The computers do it.
Right.
So it's passive to the investor who owns the computer, but it's really active in the number of things that are going on. But I thought that was kind of Fed speak for what was happening.
Yep. And so the 124 days is the norm. And this time we lost 35. We went from 35 trillion in market cap down to 25.5 trillion in 16 days. The levels that we last time we saw this was Christmas Eve of 2018, which I just mentioned, and then Election Day of 2016. So that's the level we're at right now. Lost almost 10 trillion in market cap. But the thing is, this isn't that. That business activity that we've lost isn't gone for good. It's just not. It's a temporary thing, and a lot of it will be pushed
sure,
back.
Though, Bill Gates really timed his retirement poorly.
What's he going to live on? What's he going to live on? No doubt about it. Really interesting week. Just an astounding amount of volatility, a lot of panic, a lot of fear. You can't even describe it. We've never seen anything like this. I don't think anyone who's alive today has ever seen anything like this. You can say 2008, but it was not like this at all. It was not this swift. It was not this severe. The down days, there was, I believe, one down day that was even anywhere near what we saw this week.
And that's it.
Really. Yeah. It's just crazy. And then a 9% gain on Friday, not over 9%, just truly astounding. It's just a really good lesson in why market timing isn't possible. It's not, you're going to compound your losses if you try and do it. Don't try and do it. If you believe in the U.S. economy like we do, it'll be back, and this is temporary.
It was hard enough when you were trading against other traders, trading against computer algorithms. You have no chance of being right. It would be dumb luck if you hit it at all.
No doubt about it. I've got a bit more, but I'll address it after the break.
Okay, and we will, as usual, have a trivia question after the break, and it involves bad times in the market. Yeah, I wonder why I was thinking about that this morning. And then some really, really stupid things that we've been reading on the internet about what's going on. Plus, we want to talk about your home's title that could be subject to fraud. And just, I got a stack today that maybe we'll need both hours today. But whatever. We'll be back very shortly. Don't go anywhere. And we can discuss anything you want. All you got to do is call 222-8255, and you'll go to the head of the class. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And we have Captain Dave on the phone. But first, I wanted to give out the trivia question because you never know. Maybe you'll take a shot at it. Brought to you, as always, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. And call Ken at 904-636-7888. Most people of any age of consequence probably remember the term Black Monday, which was October 19th, 1987, when the S&P 500 index lost 20.5% in a day and 28.5% overall over about 3 days. What was the total return, positive or negative, for the S&P 500, excluding dividends, for the year 1987?
All right.
Plus 20, minus 15. In fact, I'll tell you, it's in between those two. I bracketed. Captain Dave.
Good morning, boys.
How are you?
I'm fine, actually. Doing quite well. I was going to mention 1987 because I remember that. I happened to be off contract at the time, and I was here in the States. And that was, there were people pretty spooked at that time, as I remember.
I was one of them. So, yeah, they were.
And then there was the flash crash. You and I went through that together.
Yep. Yep. Sure did. Things happen.
That was weird.
Wasn't it?
How that happened.
Yeah, and I think. It wasn't that the main reason that the trading curbs that we saw this week were put in?
Yeah, because the selling just started. Those algorithms just kicked in, and you know. But the thing is, you never know how those algorithms can be triggered.
No,
you save one line of code, you can make that thing happen pretty much at will.
Yep, absolutely true. I'm sure Adam's got more to say about that.
It's a punchline to an old joke. Well, at least we got kissed on Friday.
You know, radio's a wonderful medium, isn't it?
Anyway, you guys have a good weekend. Enjoy the weather. And this coronavirus thing is such a... I can't believe that the weakness... The thing that scares me is the weakness of the fortitude of the American people. I don't know how we got this incredibly spooky, scared bunch of people.
We've been well trained by the media. That's all I can tell you.
Not us old guys, though.
Nope, but no. Be careful anyway, because when you're your age and my age, if we were to contract it, it would be worse. So.
Immunity right now because I just finished up radiation, but that's all right. I'm not gonna. I'll lock myself in the closet for 2 weeks. That'll be good.
Well, be careful out there.
I will talk to you.
All right, take care,
thanks,
guys.
Bob. Yeah, actually, I'm glad that we brought that up because the trading curves were very interesting the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I actually learned something.
You and me both.
I did not know that there was a circuit breaker a stop on the upside of futures.
I had
no idea. That's really interesting. I don't know why they would do that. I know they have it on the downside, and maybe it's just for the same reason. If you have it on the downside, do you have to have it on the upside? But I've never seen that tripped before.
I don't know. I was watching the futures before. I can't remember what day the first one was, but I was watching them, and they were rising steadily. People are kicking in, you know, got a good mood going on today. Then all of a sudden, it just didn't go up anymore. And well, that's weird. The sentiment was there 5 minutes ago, and then I found out, just like Adam found out, really, the upside curves.
Yeah. I did not know
I'm sure a lot of people who are much more active as market people, we don't really do the market. Our version of planning and investing has a lot more to do with asset allocation and exchange-traded funds and that kind of thing. So we're not in there trading stocks physically day-to-day very often at all. We do a little of it, but I've never gotten to the point in 20 years where I ever would have even considered having curbs on the upside futures.
No, I would like to talk with someone who set that up and find out what their logic was. I'm not real sure what it is.
Irrational exuberance is maybe Alan Greenspan put it in there.
Maybe. I don't know.
What's the opposite of irrational exuberance? Rational exuberance or irrational non-exuberance?
I don't know.
That was
either.
A rhetorical question anyway.
Okay.
Just thought I'd ask. Anyway, you want to wrap up anything else?
Yeah, just to go a little bit more in depth into how unusual this situation is. The S&P 500 is currently almost 4 standard deviations away from its 50-day moving average.
It's unheard of.
That is really unheard of.
We call it undervalued.
In non-virus times, it would be a recipe for a steep rally, but with all the uncertainty surrounding this, I don't know that that's coming for a while. If they announced a potential cure or a potential...
Inoculation,
not the word I'm looking for, but
prevention.
If there was a way to to do that. If that gets announced, you could see something like that. But I just don't see outside of that what news would cause that to happen. I do think that once you see the maximum caseload peak here in the U.S., meaning that the number of cases that are found every day is lower than the number of people recovering, then I think you'll start to see a rally. But I
that can't happen by definition until we have enough test kits out there that everybody can be tested who wants to be.
Right, right. So that is it's a little ways off. We'll see how quickly the government gets all that in place. The test kits has been a real problem. It's unclear to me why that is, but it seems like in Korea, South Korea, they've been able to do it quite easily. I don't know why.
I've read contradictory stories like everybody has, but apparently the reagents that are used to make the test positive or negative, we're having something like a 48% failure rate, and that you might as well not have one.
Yeah, I'd heard about that as well, and so we threw all those away and started making new ones, something like that, but it's still unclear to me as to why that happened. Let's see. The Fed also enacted some, along with the president and Congress, they've all started to do some financial measures to ease this. The Fed is, they poured a bunch of money into the repo market.
And they're meeting next week, and you can count on an interest rate cut.
They did the emergency 50-point basis cut last week, and then I almost guarantee there's at least another 25 to 50 coming.
I would start at 50.
Yeah, I'm That's guessing. I just wanted to leave all options open.
I think between 50 and 1 is the most likely scenario.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to see this as a serious emergency, and while the effects of that on a virus-related market downturn are completely unknown because this hasn't happened before. In general, that is usually a good thing for the market. But in this market, I'm not even going to guess which way that will cause the
now, mortgage rates to go. Took an interesting turn up.
Did they? I didn't see that.
Yes, but that's temporary. They went down so low that the demand for refis pulled it back up. They're going to get settled, and somewhere this summer, I think, you're going to see one more shot at some really interesting refi numbers. So real estate owners and buyers, put that in your craw and keep an eye on it, because you just never know.
Yep.
It could be a great thing. All right, there are other things that we could say about this. We could quite literally talk for a whole hour, but it's in the can already. We know what happened. I suspect you can look forward to a bunch of range trading until the thing becomes not directionless, but has a direction established.
Two more interesting things, though, that we saw this week. One, gold has not exactly spiked.
Partly because the dollar did.
Correct, but also, that's what happens.
The fear factor should have done it.
Yeah, yep. Gold typically spikes in times like these. And in fact, gold fell all week and is now almost flat on the year.
Yep.
It's less than 0.5% up.
That makes silver, no sense based on the news.
Silver is now down 18% this year. 18%.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. And the 10-year treasury, which had plummeted, the yield on that had, mm-hmm. was down under 40 basis points. Mm-hmm. It is now almost up to 1%. And that climbed 43 basis points in a week. If it moves 10 in a week, that's a really unusual move.
Yeah, rising treasuries, i.e. lowering yields, are another fear factor indicator.
Mm-hmm.
Gold, silver, and treasuries should be spiking, and they're not.
Well, they were, and now they were reversing.
They backed up.
So,
and then there's the oil market.
Mm-hmm.
What Iran is doing to Russia, which, excuse me for a minute while I just chuckle on the side, I think that is fantastic.
The
short run. It's going to hurt us if they do this too much.
Are you talking about Saudi Arabia?
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Saudi
that's
Arabia
what I thought
Russia,
you meant.
Yeah. Because if they punish the price of oil too far too long, then our companies start to get hurt badly because mm-hmm. they can't make any money. But in the short run, I find the whole thing very humorous.
I don't think $30 oil is the new normal.
No, but
I said it last time this happened,
and
I don't think it's
this
time either. Yeah.
Yeah, there is money to be made in the energy market in the calendar year 2020, in my opinion.
But we might be at $30 for the
it could be
short term.
On the other hand, Goldman Sachs says it could go to 20, and it could.
They said that last time, and they weren't
too far off.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you buy at 30 and it goes to 20, it'll come back through 30 and go up again because the world oil price will eventually reach a level where people can make money, because every day it's self-correcting. They take rigs off of the production line, they lay people off, they cut production until there's a shortage again, at which time prices go up. You are almost certain to make money if you're buying in the oil at this particular low level.
I also think the money out of treasuries and money out of gold and silver is sitting in cash, yep, waiting to go back in the market, because there are some real bargains out there right now.
There are. In fact, I was reading a couple things this morning about some stocks are basically being given away, and that is closer to truth than fiction. And I remember missing a lot of opportunity in 2009 when things really got down to the rock bottom, and I don't intend to do that anymore. So if you want to call and talk about any of those, that's good. We have a bunch more after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And lines are open. Call us at 904-222-8255 or 222-TALK. And we can talk about whatever you would like to do. Trivia question is open. 1987 was the year that saw the worst market day since 1929. And I want to know what the return on the S&P 500 was in percentage in the year 1987. Up or down? We know it's minus 15 points on either side or whatever bracket I gave you. You want to wrap up any more of this, or shall we move on?
No, let's move on.
Yeah, I think not talking about the market sounds like a good way to spend a half of a program, doesn't it? The usual idiots are out there. And I don't just mean the ones in Congress, but I certainly do include the ones in Congress. And I don't know how much anybody knows about what was passed last night at about 11 o'clock through the House. We don't know much. I've been searching it everywhere I can find. And that's partly because Nancy pulled another one. She had to pass the bill so that she could find out what's in it. And the Senate won't take it up until next week. But fundamentally, what they're trying to do is a multifaceted assistance program for people who are very likely to get hurt. And by people, I mean people with jobs, and I also mean small businesses, and to some degree the bigger businesses. The cruise lines were gently reminded that they should shut down their businesses, and they all smiled and volunteered, because if they didn't, nobody would ever go on them again. So there are businesses, small and medium and large out there, that are going to take some hurt. It is going to hurt things in the economy for a while. But a lot of what it's doing, remember, is pushing back demand to later quarters. It is not all gone. Some things that you are going to do, you will do later. Other things that you are going to do were fleeting things, and they will not be replaced. So there will be some problems with that. But I don't think we could be any more fortunate sitting here at a time like this, as to have gone into this at a time when the market was hot because the economy was hot. We have been growing like crazy. Jobs are plentiful. Even this past week, the unemployment claims first time dropped. Now, all those things are going to start changing. Week by week, as the numbers come out, you're going to see some dramatic changes. But they're going to change in such a manner that they'll just go back in time a little ways. We're going to give away the top part of the economy for a while and go back to just okay to good times. When it ramps back up, generally what happens is that somebody kind of issues an all clear sign, and all of a sudden, boom, you're back at work and people are going out and everything's fine and everybody's happy. That is what I expect to happen. If you want to ask me what day, you might as well talk to the wall, because I have absolutely no clue. So I am hoping summer helps, though.
So some of the things that are supposed to be addressed in this, and it's still unclear, there's not a lot of details, but one thing that came out was the no interest payments on student loans for the foreseeable future.
I heard balance of this year.
Okay, that might be true. I don't know. Like I said, details are sketchy right now.
Yeah,
but
they are.
Whether that means you'll have to make your whole payment or just pay the principal portion of your payment, I'm not sure. We don't even know that much level of detail.
Yeah, but they never mentioned principal. And I have not seen it mentioned.
Right.
Yet.
No, I don't. I think that any principal payments, it sounds like you will be required to pay, whether or not you pay the full amount and then it goes all towards principal because there's no interest, or you just pay the lower amount of just principal. I'm not sure. Or maybe you'll have the option.
Or if there's a waiver if you're out of work. I don't know that either.
I really don't know. Some of the other things, though, they've enhanced unemployment insurance to include there's a 2 weeks leave for sick pay. There is other parts of that as well. There is something that will include nutrition security initiatives, including SNAP, student meals, seniors nutrition, and food banks. So if you're out of work and can't afford food, food will be provided to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I'd like to try to answer the quiz if I can, gentlemen.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. If I recall the question correctly, it was, what did the S&P 500 do for the year?
Yes.
1987?
Yes.
I think it was close to 5%, so I'll say 5%.
You're a little bit high.
It's a good guess, though.
But you've got the right idea.
Okay.
And I like the way you think. So I really appreciate it. You got our bracket down considerably now. When I said a little bit high, that tells you the bracket is between 0 and 5.
All right. It was
actually positive for the year.
It had
gone crazy up through October.
Despite a 20-plus percent drop.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year either, because I would never stick my neck out that far. But it's, nothing is exactly how it seems ever.
I hear. Hey, if this is any help to anybody with this national emergency with the virus and here in Jacksonville, obviously people are running around for hand sanitizers.
Yep.
And if anybody's been shopping around, they've found that rubbing alcohol and aloe vera gel, which makes up a very good, is in short supply.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest, I had a friend who was a major in chemistry back in New York City, and he works for Ameritrade now. And he said that just getting soap because of the fatty molecules in soap works considerably better than the alcohol. So
that's true.
Yeah, and I've heard the doctors say that the soap is very much less effective unless you use hot water. So warm up your water and do it.
Exactly. But if anybody's despairing about not getting any aloe vera gel or rubbing alcohol, soap works just as well, if not better. So
I like it.
That is true. Thank you for that.
Yes, I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
You got to keep up the great work. I love your show every Saturday morning.
Makes it all worthwhile.
Always good to hear.
Thanks so
much.
Very
good. Have a good day.
Thank you. As I said, I just love the way our listeners think.
No doubt about it.
Picked up on the fact that it was a positive year. That's really cool. All right. You were wrapping up. I don't want to get into my part of this until after the break, because what I got to say about part of the thing that didn't make it last night is going to take longer than the 2 minutes we've got.
Yep. So there's a variety of things, most of which we still don't know. But that was I think I touched on all the major ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be more that will come out after this. This
basically is basically an income-based protection plan for people who are laid off or forced to be at home.
Right.
And I can't poke a hole in the argument.
The one thing that I haven't really addressed yet is the child care piece.
Right.
That's going to be tough because
I can't imagine
our kids in Duval County are at least off for this next week. Yeah. So they extended spring break by a week. And then there was some news outlets last night that were reporting that the state of Florida mandated 2 more weeks. But there's nothing that I can find this morning about Duval going 2 more weeks. I assume that will be the case. That is a major disruption for people that have either a single parent that has to work or two parents that have to work and don't work from home. What do you do with your kids? That's going to be a problem.
And maybe that's addressed in the law where you are going to be required to be able to work from home.
But if you work a retail job, it's not possible. So I don't know how that's going to work out. That is something that Congress really needs to address quickly, or at least state by state needs to do it, because that's a major problem.
It is. And you can't even ask a bunch of so-called intelligent congressmen to come up with the answer to everything in a very short time. So I think the state and local entities, I was listening to Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, and he was explaining that in Texas, the way they do this is they push it down to the very lowest level. Each school district, each town, on and on, they try to drive the decisions down as to what to do. And it is less disruptive, I think, in general. But it does put a lot of responsibility on a lot of people, and it's got to be acknowledged.
Oh, the one thing I did not mention was free testing for coronavirus.
Now, yes, drive-through getting set up in the Walmart parking lot.
There is a lot of misinformation that the treatment will also be free. That is not the case.
Really?
The testing is free as of today.
Okay.
So you can might look for that in the future, though. I would not be surprised to see some sort of assistance for treatment
as well. And insurance companies are waiving deductibles for a lot of things.
Yep.
And this, what's going to come out of this on the good side is you're going to see corporations in America rethinking their business models. That goes from supply chains and interactions with people and everything else. If we can lessen our reliance on overseas suppliers, especially in China, for all kinds of things, particularly medicines, it's going to wind up being a net positive, even though a lot of people get hurt. So keep the faith. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banway.
And I'm Adam Banway.
And this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. And that, of course, is in the 904. All right. One of the things that Trump proposed for this current bailout plan was an immediate stimulus plan in the form of a payroll tax holiday, meaning you would not have the Social Security portion withheld from your check. That's 6.2% up to $137,700 a year. Now, Adam and I are philosophically opposed to a payroll tax cut. And here's the simple reason. A payroll tax is poorly named. It is not a tax. A payroll tax is a premium that you place into the Social Security system. It is an annuity payment, so to speak, and you pay it in over your lifetime and get it out later. The balance in your individual account depends on your individual contributions. When you allow people not to contribute, it will hurt them down the road. They will not have as big of an account as if they had made them all the way through. Therefore, we consider it the wrong policy almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand,
but that's not the only reason that I oppose it.
What's the other one?
The other one is just the simple fact that the system is going broke.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. And every time that we do this, it goes broke sooner because there's less money coming in and still the same amount going out. Now, that is not a good idea.
And the only cure for that I can think of would be we pass a one-time funding bill to replace the money that didn't go in. And then who would be paying it?
We would, just through other taxes.
Exactly.
I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Yeah.
Now, that said, what would you do to stimulate the economy that could be quicker than putting money into everybody's pockets immediately?
So I would rather cut federal taxes again.
I would, too.
Temporarily get rid of the 10% bracket. I don't know. Something, you know, something that isn't as detrimental as cutting the Social Security funding.
Now, I agree. But let's say this is the one that they've settled on for the immediate stimulus package. Well, you might expect that the first thing that happens is Yahoo News and a bunch of the other yahoos out there will come up with a reason why, oh, it's not going to work. And it's kind of strange because when Barack Obama suggested it, it was the greatest idea since sliced bread.
I didn't like it then. I don't like it now.
Didn't like it then. In fact, we talked about it then, too. But here it is. I found it. A female reporter named Kristen Myers, reporting for Yahoo, claims that the Trump coronavirus plan is going to cost over $800 billion and it won't help the poor, according to a recent study. So I took a little deep dive around that issue, and I do this knowing that I'm fundamentally opposed to the thing anyway. So even though I agree with her in that regard, I'm not on that side right at this particular moment. So anyway, Myers first claims that the cost of the plan will be $807, which is greater than the bailouts of 2008, which cost only $700 billion. Well, let's take a look at that. Are there not more people working today than there were then?
Right now, yes, but in 3 weeks, I don't know.
If you did the same thing today that you did then, it would cost more today. Correct. There are more people working, and they're making more money than ever before. She does not apparently understand the economies of scale of the whole thing. The next thing, she claims that an increase in employee wages would increase taxable income for federal taxes. Is it possible that a financial reporter in the year 2020 could be so ignorant as to not understand that the FICA deduction on your payroll tax out of your check is not deductible? Is that possible?
It is possible.
It happened, so I guess it is. It is deductible to the employer as the employer, what they call, matches your funds. It is not deductible to the individual. It would not increase their federal taxes. It would put 6.2% of every paycheck right into their pockets on that day. My God, people. Conclusion number one for Myers. On net, the payroll tax holiday loses revenue. Really? You stop taking money from people and your revenue goes down? Who knew? I can't help it, folks. Next complaint. It won't help the most impacted people who are low-income households and workers. Okay, so let's see. You're making $15-$20 an hour, and you get 6% of that. That's a huge raise.
Yeah, it is.
Huge. Somebody else is making $250,000. They're only paying the 6.2 on the first 137.7, and it is a minor little fraction of what they were taking home anyway. So the impact is greater on who?
Yeah, 6.2% is probably more than double most people's annual raise.
Exactly. By way of explanation, she claims that the lowest 20% of income-earning households would receive only 20% of the benefits. I'm not even going to comment. Enter the expert witness, Richard Prisniano, whatever. I apologize, Richard. It's a tough one. But he made the observation that the stimulus is skewed to the top. Further, tax savings would be accumulated, quote, slowly over time. You mean like every Friday
paycheck?
Or every 2 weeks or twice a month? That's slowly over time. I'm sure he's one of those give everybody $1,000 right now people. It's the only way you can come to a conclusion like that. Myers says the benefits will be distributed 25.2% to the top 10% of wage earners. Well, what percentage of wages do the top 10% of wage earners earn? A lot more than that. I don't get it. Now, the Elise Gould of the Economic Policy Institute whines that getting the benefit requires people to, ready? Continue working.
Really?
I am not making this up. Have you had enough yet? I hope not, because I'm not done. It gets better. Lower income people are more likely to spend their tax savings. And so, and I honest to God, I am not making this up. They're more likely to spend it, so there would be little net impact on the economy. That's the economy that's 70% consumer-driven.
Wow.
So if they spend it, it doesn't impact the economy.
So they should save it, and that would impact the economy?
Yeah, I guess. It clearly implied. Even better is the long-term outlook, beginning with, it would reduce the size of the economy by 0.1% in 2030 and 0.2% in 2050. No explanation.
How is that? That's not possible.
There is no explanation, given, implied, or otherwise. Somebody pulled that from where the sun didn't shine that day. The federal debt would crowd out investment, reducing capital stock by 0.2% by 2030 and by 0.5% by 2050. Exact same explanation as the previous one.
That's completely made up.
None. And then this, the coup de grace. average hourly wages would also decrease over time 0.1% by 2040 and 0.2% by 2050.
By a temporary payroll tax cut?
Yeah, in 2040. That's 20 years out. You forecast me anything in 20 or 30 years, and I'll show you how wrong you can be.
That's incredible.
This, people, is journalistic malpractice at about a level that is hard to find. Unbelievable. All right, let's have one more little quickie. I love this one. You ever have trouble telling your kids about capitalism, socialism, and all that? Long time ago, 2002, a teacher in Mississippi came up with something, and we found it rolling around the internet again. It's real short, and I thought it was real cute. Here, this is about the isms. Socialism, you have two cows, give one cow to your neighbor. Communism, you have two cows, give both cows to the government, and they may give you some milk. Fascism, you have two cows, you give all the milk to the government sells it. Nazism, you have two cows, the government shoots you and takes both cows. Anarchism, you have two cows, keep both cows, shoot the government agent and steal another cow. Capitalism, you have two cows, sell one and buy a bull. I thought that was good. S&P returned 2.35% in 1987, despite that nearly 30% downturn that it occurred in about three trading days. I'm not saying it'll happen. I am saying we, too, will get over this in the year 2020. And just keep the faith and don't do anything stupid. Go outside, go to the beach, enjoy the weather, and forget about it. Don't open your 401k statement for 4 or 5 months. See you next week. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.